Well, hello, good morning. It's good to see you all. Hello if you're joining us online as well. Lovely to see you. If you didn't catch it, my name's Susie, and it's great to be with you this morning. And I wonder when the last time you went on a road trip was. I absolutely love going on road trips, and probably one of my favourites was when myself, Nicola Bryce, one of our pastors, Debbie, our founding pastor, we went on holiday to Scotland, and it literally took 10 hours to get there. I mean, can you imagine what it was like in that car? You know that song, it's like, we never stopped talking, we never came up for air for that whole 10 hours, and on the way back, Debbie made us stop, I think it was 5 times, to try and get the perfect cream tea. It was amazing. Over these last few weeks, with Dreaming the Impossible, DTI, our national youth ministry, we've been on a road trip. So between the team, we've been on to a number of different places around the country. We've been to Manchester, to Bristol, to London, and then here on home turf. And it's been wonderful to see God encounter young people on the road. And we've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people. It's been brilliant. And at all of those locations, young people met Jesus for the first time. In fact, 51 of them did. So it's been absolutely brilliant. And of course, all of those represent a story of a life totally changed. It's been amazing. And today we're in the middle of a few series, a few talks called The Journey Towards the Cross. And we're looking at a very different type of road trip today. No cream teas, no cars, and it definitely wasn't a holiday. But instead, a road trip that Jesus took over 2,000 years ago that ultimately led to the cross. If you're here last week, John brilliantly looked at Mark chapters 8 to 10, where Jesus starts his journey towards Jerusalem. And repeatedly, he's saying to his disciples over and over again, when I get there, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be crucified, and ultimately I'm going to rise again. That's what he's saying. Next week, we're going to get to Palm Sunday. We're going to look at what happens once Jesus actually got to Jerusalem. But today, we're slap bang kind of in the between moment in Mark chapter 10, still on the road, where we encounter this incredible story where Jesus meets this guy called blind Bartimaeus. And do you think you're allowed to have favourite Bible stories? What do you think? Yeah, I think so. Because if you are, this story for me, it would probably be one of my favourite Bible stories, because it's one of those stories that every time I read it, I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus, you are amazing. I just can't get my head around how good he is. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we're going to read it together. Here we go. Then they're on their way to Jerusalem. As I said, they're getting close now. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a man, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. What an amazing story. And just to say, if you're tracking with us over these last few weeks, do go back, look at these chapters, look at Mark chapter 8 to chapter 10, because there's so many parallels between Jesus' teaching and what's going on with blind Bartimaeus here. But I reckon we could summarise this story in 20 words, okay? Bartimaeus sees who Jesus is. Bartimaeus reaches out for Jesus. Jesus responds to Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is left forever changed. Shortest talk ever, my friends. Shall we pray? No. You're not getting away that lightly. We've got to dig in. And we're going to use those 20 words to really zip through the passage today and look at how can we, here in Nottingham, 2,000 years later, encounter Jesus again. So the first 5 words, Bartimaeus sees who Jesus is. One of the things that jumps out to me in this story is I love just how desperate Bart is. I'm going to call him Bart just because Bartimaeus, 3 syllables, is going to take too long. I love how desperate he is to encounter Jesus. It's almost kind of ironic because despite the fact that Bart was physically blind, in a spiritual sense, he could actually see. Because Bart seems to understand a little bit of who Jesus is in a way that the crowd just don't. And this is actually a pretty significant moment in Mark's gospel. We need to look at the words in verse 47 again. Here we go. Listen up. We need to be observant here. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Do you see what's going on there? So he's hearing that Jesus of Nazareth is on his way, but when he shouts out, he actually uses the phrase, "Jesus, son of David." And this is one of the moments in the scriptures where it's like a ding-a-ling-ling, like pay attention, because it's a significant moment. You see, by him using this language, the son of David, it points out that Bart, on some level, he knew that Jesus wasn't just a prophet from Nazareth, but that he was the long-awaited Messiah who was coming to establish this new kind of kingdom. And you see, up until this moment in Mark's gospel, there's only been a couple of moments of Jesus' true identity. One of them being when Peter makes that big declaration, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." And as John showed us last week in an amazing way, like none of them really grasped, did they, what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. Remember, they start jostling for position. They're trying to work out like which one of us is the best. And then they actually start pushing children away from Jesus. But Jesus says, and this is kind of the Susie Aldridge paraphrase version, "Guys, you have misunderstood the point. Because the Messiah is the one whose kingdom belongs to these little children and those like him. And when you're asking about position, it's actually the last who will be first. It's the one who serves." And you see, this kind of teaching, it would have been absolutely shocking. Shocking for those disciples, shocking for the crowds, and especially shocking for the religious elite. You see, in many ways, they were expecting this traditional kind of Messiah who was going to come in, all guns blazing, set them free from the oppression of the Romans. And so this story leaves me thinking, what exactly was it that Bart could see that the others couldn't? Was it because he heard stories? He'd heard rumors. This Jesus guy, he's so kind and he's compassionate and he has dignity for those that no one else does. Was it that his view was a little bit like Peter, but in a sense, Bart was just a blind beggar by the side of the road. He realized he had literally nothing to lose. We don't know because the text doesn't say, but what we do know is that Bart saw something of who Jesus was. And I guess the question for us today, and it's a good question, and it's an important question, and it's this one. Do you see Jesus clearly? You know, do you see Jesus clearly? Because sometimes I wonder if some of us, including me, can be a little bit like the crowd and the disciples. We've hung out with Jesus. We've seen good things about him. We've experienced his goodness, his greatness. But yet sometimes, in moments when we're gripped with fear or with worry or distracted by life or drowning in work, that actually in those moments, we can fail to see Jesus clearly. So we've got to keep coming back. We've got to keep coming back and seeing Jesus clearly for ourselves. You know, for me, if I ever lose sight of Jesus, which of course I know you think I'm perfect, but it does happen, I find myself going straight to Colossians 1. I would love to read it. It's a passage that speaks so beautifully of Jesus. I've actually got it above my bed. And it says this, just as I read it, why don't you close your eyes just to really take it in? "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, thank goodness. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood, which was shed on the cross." I love that passage. And maybe some of us today need reminding, no matter how hard or horrible our situation is, that Jesus, the one who holds everything together, who was there at the beginning, who will be there at the end. He walks with us, present by his Spirit. Do you see Jesus clearly? Because when we see him clearly, it means this. It means that we can trust him. It means that we can trust him no matter how big the storms of life get. We can trust him with yesterday and today and tomorrow, with our hopes, with our dreams, with our disappointments. And if we are going to follow Jesus through all the storms of our lives, because they will come, if you're not right in the middle of one right now, they will come. If we are going to stand in a culture that is increasingly challenging, then we have got to have a razor-sharp focus of Jesus. We can't settle for anything less. And I wonder if some of us maybe even fall into the trap of looking like our spiritual vision is great on the outside, but on the inside, we're way off. I can see some of you nodding. You know, even being here on a Sunday, it's kind of ironic that we can be here in church. I mean, we've all made it here today. Tick, congratulations, we've made it. Or small group, or serving, but yet we can be here in the worship singing, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Did I turn my hair straighteners off? You know, what am I having for lunch? We can all do these things. Sometimes the very place where we should feel and have our most focus on the Lord, we can actually fail to see him clearly. I want to encourage you today. I just wonder for many, many of us, Jesus is just wanting to recalibrate a little bit. Some maybe even to see Jesus for the first time. So when it comes to having an encounter with Jesus, that's the first five words. Secondly, we need to see. First five words are, almost forgot them. Bartimaeus sees who Jesus is. Secondly, Bartimaeus reaches out for Jesus. Just imagine being Bartimaeus just for a moment, will you? You're blind, begging to survive. No education, no career options. You've been spat out by the world. You've been ignored. Nobody's giving you the time of day. That was his situation. But yet what happens is he reaches out with a shout, like above the noise, above the crowds. He was desperate. And I wonder, have you ever been in a situation where you are so desperate for help that you're willing to shout for it? I had a few times. We're going to start light and I'll go a little bit deeper. You know, once I got stung by a wasp in a two-man tent. It was horrendous. I couldn't find the zip. The thing's buzzing around, just stinging me. And I'm basically screaming. You can imagine the moment. All the two times I've broken my toe. Has anybody broken their toe before? Whoa. There's a lot of toe breakers in this room. The first one for me was when I was doing a forwards roll in a dance routine for Michael Jackson's Earth song. You know the song? Into the forwards roll. And I snapped my toe and it was awful. The second time, it was less dramatic. I've never done a forwards roll since. Anyway, I was in my house and I ran and I cracked it on the door frame. Oh my goodness, the pain. And I fell onto the sofa. And this is honestly what happened. I got the cushion and I started pounding the cushion. I was like, Jesus, Jesus, heal me, take away the pain. On that occasion, I didn't get healed. And I know they're silly, you know, silly, tame examples. Clearly, I've led a bit of a sheltered life and got a very, very, very low pain threshold. But I was willing to scream and to shout to get help. But it's been true of other times in my life, many, many, many times. Just last year, just to share with you, one of my friends who is actually like a sister to me, and I've got no family living here in Nottingham, she moved away from here to the Isle of Man. And of course, I was pumped for her, for what God had put on her heart, for a new adventure. But inside, I was gutted. I was like, oh man, this really sucks. It's really painful right now. And I found myself reaching out to the Lord. In an honest moment, saying, Lord, I need to know that you're here. Like, I need to know that you've got my back, that you're going to provide for me. I need your peace, and I 100% need your joy right now. Because where else was I going to go to get that? But to the one who changes everything. You see, Bart was desperate. He was desperate. He was so aware of his need. And Jesus was his only hope. His only hope. So he goes for it. Even though those crowds, they literally are telling him to pipe down. They're trying to quieten him. But he goes for it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's powerful, isn't it? I wonder, are you aware of your own needs this morning? Are you willing to step out? Like, what stuff have you got going on where you need a touch from Jesus? It could be being healed or set free, or what things are on your mind? And will you reach out for him? You know, it might not necessarily look like shouting above a crowd, but it might look like walking down to the front here in a bit and getting someone to pray with you. It might mean calling a mate like I did this week, ringing up saying, I'm struggling with something. Would you pray for me? It might mean an honest conversation with your spouse. It might mean going to a small group or getting professional help. Whatever it is, we've got to be like Bart and reach out for Jesus, because it's as Bart reaches out for Jesus that Jesus responds. Next four words. This bit is unbelievable. Honestly, in this story, it's just unbelievable. Bart is shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Jesus stopped. And I find those two words unbelievably moving. Jesus stopped. And I know you've been wondering what this is. Some of you knew. You could work out from behind. This is a stop sign. Just a little education for you. In fact, what did you, you've distracted me by what you told me. Apparently this is the only sign, I should know this because I'm a driver, that is this shape so that you can recognize it in snow, et cetera, et cetera. So you can have that for free. And I want to use that. I want to use this morning just to help us really bring this story to life, to go away, to remember this passage. Because what happens is in the middle of the hustle and bustle of a crowd, Jesus, on his way to the cross, he stops. But he stops for a desperate heart. That's our Jesus. The one who hears the noise above a crowd and is so attentive to the one. And we should never, ever get over that. Oh, that we would be a church, that we would know who Jesus is, that he's the God who stops for us. And as verses 49 to 52 go on, I'm going to paraphrase it. This is really the climax of the story here. It's Bart's moment, the encounter that he was desperate for. And it's a beautiful moment because Jesus calls Bartimaeus, jumps to his feet. He throws his cloak aside, which, by the way, that would have been the thing he depended on for the day, for begging, and the thing to keep him warm at night. He goes to Jesus. Jesus asks him what he wants, an opportunity for Bartimaeus to confess it with his own mouth. Bart says, I want to see. And of course, Jesus heals him. And what happens is Bartimaeus starts following Jesus along the road. His life forever changed. And the thing I think is interesting for us is to remember that it doesn't just stop with Bartimaeus. He longs to meet with us through his Holy Spirit. He longs to stop for us. And he's available any moment of any day. Just want to share a few stories. The other week, a team here from Trent went into one of the prisons. They were leading a service. And as one of them shared a story, somebody was listening who had believed in God for decades, but they'd been struggling with substance addiction. And since they'd been in prison, they got clean. And they wanted on that day to experience something of God's love. And what happened is that Jesus stopped for them. And they got prayed for, and they encountered the presence of God. And it gets better because they rushed to the skeptical prison guard who said to them, well, you know, was that encounter better than drugs? And the guy's like, yeah, yes, it was. You see, this guard had seen spiritual encounters on the TV, but just thought they were a whole lot of nonsense. And then they were left thinking, could there be something to Jesus after all? Jesus had stopped. Let me tell you another story from Dreaming the Impossible. Last summer, I'll never forget it. A young person comes up to me and she's crying her eyes out and she just wants to say thank you to the team for putting it on. Because the year before she had come and she had been gripped by fear and anxiety. And she'd been prayed for, I don't know by who, she'd been prayed for by somebody and instantly set free. This was a year on and she hadn't had any of those symptoms in a whole year. Jesus had stopped for her. You know, stories like these, they raise my expectations. They increase my desperation for Jesus. And so a couple of things for us to consider before we pray. The first one's this. Do you know? Do you really know? Like, not on a surface level, but in your heart, that Jesus stops for you. The one who was there at the beginning, who'll be there at the end, who holds everything together in his hand. He cares about you. He cares about your needs, your heart, your family, your children, your brokenness, your loneliness. And just like he stopped for blind Bartimaeus all those years ago, he stops for you. You know, in this moment and in every moment, you've got his ear. He hears your cry. He's the God who literally stops. He stops for you. And he doesn't promise necessarily to make everything better in this moment, but he promises us his presence. So do you know that? Secondly, are we going to be like Jesus in the way that we stop for others? Or are we just going to let, I don't know, the busyness of life, the fear of getting it wrong, pride, I don't know, apathy, stop us? Just think about it for a moment. Jesus is walking along the road. And he's walking along and the crowds are following him. And he's walking towards the most horrendous betrayal of a death. An innocent man with our sins on his shoulders. And he's going through that and he gets to a blind beggar on the side of the road. And if he can stop, I think we can. I think we can. You see, each day I think we're presented with a gazillion stop sign moments. Maybe not a gazillion, but loads. You know, we're out there, aren't we? We're at school gates and on the tram, wandering around, playing football, walking along roads. And there are people like Bartimaeus who are desperate for a touch from Jesus. So are we going to be a church that stops or walks by? And for me, there's literally been so many times in my life over the years where I haven't stopped. But over the last few months, I'm trying to become more attentive to what the Lord is doing. And as I have, I've had a few moments to stop. Just before Christmas, I went to the shop one day. I had a really banging headache. I was running late for a meeting and I wasn't in the best frame of mind. You ever been like that? Yeah. So I go into the shop and I get chatting with the shopkeeper. And the shopkeeper says to me, he starts to articulate that he thinks some dark things have been going on in the shop. He's starting to wonder because some supernatural stuff be going on. And I can see he's just filled with fear. And so I'm like, I've got a choice. Remember, I've got a banging headache. I'm in a bad mood and I'm now running late. But I had to stop because Jesus, that is what he would do. And so in that moment, and this is, as I say, this is one of the moments where I did stop. And I said something to the guy like this. I looked him, eyeballed him in the eye, and I said, look, I don't understand everything. But what I do know is that Jesus has authority over all things, including fear, including evil. And so I'd love to come back and pray with a mate at another point because we always pray in pairs. So a couple of days later, we go back to the shop at some crazy, crazy hour and we pray for him. And we chatted and we prayed and nothing happened in that moment. Nothing dramatic happened. But do you know what? That was December. We're now in March. Just recently, I checked in with him. There's been no signs of anything else, no sense of anything else dark in that shop since. We carry with us the presence, the life-changing presence of Jesus. So do you know that Jesus stops for you? And are you going to stop for others? I'd love this week for us to have this picture in our minds. Like if you're a driver, you will recognize this. If when you come to a stop sign, obviously the first thing you need to do is actually stop. Don't let this be a distraction. The first thing you need to do is to stop. But secondly, to remember, he stops for you. And are you going to stop for others? Perhaps if you're not a driver, you might want to take a photo, get it on your phone or something, or just get it in your mind. And remember, Jesus stops for you. Will you stop for others? We're coming to the end of our 20-word summary. Bartimaeus sees who Jesus is. Bartimaeus reaches out for Jesus. He responds to Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is left forever changed. You know, Bartimaeus was a blind beggar, and obviously at the end of the day, he was able to see. But what I think is interesting about the story, and it strikes me every time I read it, is that Bartimaeus gained way more than his physical eyesight. You see, his whole identity changed. He began sat hopeless by the side of a road, but at the end, he's actually following Jesus down the road. A couple of chapters earlier, Mark writes this. Then he, Jesus, called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And this word follow here is a key word for Mark. We're talking about discipleship. You see, Bart literally follows. He joins the crowd. He follows them along the road towards Jerusalem. And metaphorically, Bart is shouldering his own cross to follow Jesus. He's become a disciple. You see, he could see physically and spiritually. He was healed and his whole identity changed. And of course, if you've been around us for a very long part of this church, you'll know that we speak about physical healing quite a lot. And if you're wondering about that, check the archives. We can get some great sermons for you on that. It's a sermon in its own right. But in very, very brief terms, we believe here, I believe scripturally, that sometimes when we pray for healing, we see, boom, like God's kingdom just breaking through. That person gets healed in the way we want right in that moment. I've seen it with my own eyes. But I also believe scripturally and with my own eyes that when we pray for people for healing, they don't always get healed in the way that we want. And that can be so, so, so challenging. It can be really, really difficult. But I'll tell you this, every time that I've been prayed for, every time that I've prayed for others, they have encountered something of God's love and his peace and his joy, and they're left changed, no matter the outcome. Because when we see who Jesus is, when we reach out for him, Jesus, he always responds. He always responds. It's like as we lift our eyes, we're filled with truth and peace. We're anchored again. And our spiritual vision, it's just like it comes a little bit clearer. And then he commissions us to go just like the disciples did. We're coming into land now. But you know what I love about Bart? The final thing I love is that his encounter with Jesus, it wasn't a passive one. You see, those guys, they're walking along the road. Jesus is walking along the road. He's not going to be there for long. He's just walking by. He's walking by. And Bart just takes the moment and he reaches out for him. He was desperate. One encounter with Jesus can change everything. And so the application, I think, for us today is similar. Wherever we're at and whatever we've got going on, look for Jesus in your current circumstances. Have eyes to see him. Realize who he is. Take a risk. Reach out like Bartimaeus did, and he will respond to you. Might not look how you expected, but he will respond to you, and you'll be left changed. Shall we pray?